All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Prospects Corner. And this week we have a special guest, Jake Perper of the Hoop Vibe. Jake, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Yeah, so appreciate you having me on, Alan. Obviously, Alan and I go back a few years, previously at Prep Hoops alongside him. Started my own thing last August, the Hoop Vibe, founder and scouting director of that, doing events and going out there and trying to help kids get noticed. So I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, don't forget about Sun Bash, man. You gotta pull up the events.
Yeah, you're right. You know how I am. I'm a humble human being. Sun Bash. Entering year seven in Tampa Bay. Year five in Miami, and then expanded to Jacksonville and Orlando. So we'll have four events in the Sun Bash series, and they're all part of the Hoop Vibe, powered by the Hoop Vibe. We're calling it. So look out for those during the season.
Yes, most definitely. It's going to be great events all together. But before we get into those events that will be coming up later in the season, we just had a great week of university camps all over the state. And I went to FSU camp. Jake went to Santa Fe camp as well as UCF camp. And we're going to give you our top five prospects and a few honorable mentions and teams to watch over the next few minutes. Jake, I'm going to give you the floor. You're the OG here. Go ahead and tell us who one of your top five players were over the weekend.
Yeah, and I know talking before this, we agreed on one guy, and I think a lot of people would scout-wise here in the state of Florida. But I just want to preface this before anybody's watching. I was only at UCF on Saturday. So if there was different teams on Sunday that I didn't see, I apologize, but I can't put them in the list. I know there was some different teams. So I just want to preface by saying that. So the number one guy that I saw hands down was Marcus Allen, that played the best. 6'7" forward, you could call him a guard at times. You know, comes back to Norland, first event with Norland. He went over to Arizona Compass Prep last year. He just was honestly unbelievable. Saw him on the main court multiple times, handled the ball with ease, shot the ball really, really well, which is an improvement since the last time I saw him a year ago. And he's just a fun player. He gets everybody involved, runs down the floor, rarely tired. And now he's going to have a monster season.
Right. And I saw Marcus as well at FSU camp. He was there for that day one. And Coach Leonard Hamilton and the rest of the staff were sitting there courtside, and he just went crazy. Like, whatever they had him doing to train, he's figured out how to really get his shot off the dribble. Big wing, really athletic, tough kid. And one thing that's kind of like going underrated, I feel like I don't hear a lot of people talk about this, he's really good at drawing fouls. Like, he's already figured out how to like force the officials to kind of like get in the game, as well as just being a really physical dude. And when you talk about him, he kind of knows his role. Like, he knows his defense first, but his skill set is allowing him to do much more while also defending 2 through 4 with ease.
Yeah, he's a student of the game. I mean, obviously he was one of the bigger guys growing up. He was always athletic. That's great. But you see some of these guys and they never really develop. They're the big guy. They're the big athletic guy. And they're like, okay, I can live off of that. That's not how it works anymore. Modern day NBA, even college, like, you have to take your game to the next level. And Marcus has done that twofold. Obviously at Compass Prep, he was challenged every single day in practice during games. And I think it's, you know, some people are saying it's a strange move to him to come back to Norland. I don't think so. He's playing with his buddies. He's comfortable. They're going to play a high level schedule. And it doesn't matter at the end of the day where you play, as long as you're playing good games and you're getting the reps that you need and you're improving. And he checks all those boxes right now.
Right. And I did a quick interview with Marcus Allen before he left, and he said one of his missions when he got to New Orleans with Coach Ant was for them to win a state championship. That's what he's coming back for, and he looks like they're ready. Like, New Orleans is a deep team. That's actually one of the teams I want to talk about when we get towards the end. My number two guy is fairly new to the state, Jalen Lee, Jalen Rock Lee, if you will. I don't know if he realizes this, but it's definitely a Naruto reference, and I rock with it, my friend. But yeah, big 6'6 combo guard out of West Oaks, and he's just electric. 6'6, big guard, more of a scorer in the couple days that I saw him. Gave 30 points to Darion Reed in like the second game of FSU camp while Leonard Hamilton was watching as well. But he can just get wherever he wants. Does a good job of making shots off the dribble. And West Oaks has this thing where they find this guard who's kind of like on the cusp of becoming like a high major or mid-major guy. I know Jalen had offers before, but he's currently unranked. I think they have him like the 54th shooting guard on 247 Sports. And when you look at it, that's not what this kid is at all. Like, expect for him to get a major bump in his ranking and recruiting over the next few months. UCF offered him, and he's just a big guard, and it's exactly what I think FSU really likes in their players. So if he decides to go a place, I like him there.
Yeah, unfortunately I wasn't able to see him, but I did, you know, see highlights and heard a lot about him coming into that weekend. I know he came down from Georgia, so I'm sure he's physical. West Oaks is going to let him run and let him do his thing. So it's probably a natural fit considering, you know, they lost a lot of guys. So it's a good move for him to be there and be challenged like that. So it sounds like they found a gem in Rock Lee.
For sure.
So my second guy is one of my favorite guys, Jamie Phillips. He's like a bowling ball out there. They call him the big guard. I don't know if you saw the mix that came out of him that Visions by Austin did, where it was like the Joker face. It was pretty tough mix. I'll have to send it to you if not. But he had a great weekend, especially on Saturday against Lake Worth and Oak Ridge. I mean, he was attacking the basket, which he's not afraid to go after two or three guys. He's not afraid to do ball fakes and step backs. Like, the guy is super athletic for the size that he is, and it's crazy. He has so much power. And he has a good three-point shot, but I like him when he goes downhill, creates all the havoc, draws contact, and just gets his team hype. And he did that time and time against Oak Ridge. Granted, Oak Ridge didn't have Jalen Reese or Jameer Jones, who's now transferred there. They were a little shorthanded, but, I mean, he made it awfully tough for Oak Ridge. And that rematch of the 7A state semifinals was pretty fun, and I'm hoping that we're going to have that again at the end of the season.
Definitely. Like, I love Jamie. Jamie's been one of my favorite players for a while, just because I have a thing for big guards. I feel like we don't get enough love, especially for the ones that don't look the part. But when you know how to use your body, it does not matter. And he knows how to do that. And plus, what the athleticism looks like is really kicking in. I saw him dunk on somebody over the weekend. I'm really excited to see what that Winter Haven team looks like. They reloaded too. And I know it's just going to be super fun.
Yeah, I just want to throw in there. I was sitting around some players. I'm not going to name them, but, you know, they're like,
boo.
Is Jamie really that tall? Is he really a D1 player? And then he just balled out. And I was trying to explain to them that there was this kid, Bryce Sensabaugh, a few years ago, who had a similar build. A lot of that was because he got injured and he was out of shape, and he really was hurt a lot. He's now, we all know, was had a great year at Ohio State. He's in the draft, and he's got a chance to make a name for himself. And to me, Jamie Phillips is a smaller version of him, but built like that as well. So it bodes well for his future. And the other thing that I learned this weekend was Jamie was an incredible football player, quarterback. And I guess during COVID, he stopped playing because it was all that, you know, COVID made people concerned about all those things. So he wanted to play basketball. And that's when him and Isaac Salazar really bonded. Isaac's older brother plays football at UCF. And Jamie has just, you know, completely taken off in the last 2-3 years because of that.
Dude. So you mean to tell me we could have had what? He could have been a 4-star in 2 sports, possibly?
He could have been the next Dante Culpepper, Donovan McNabb. I mean, he's built like that. So
for real.
Yeah, I want to see him on the football field, but I guess it's not going to happen again. So,
yeah. Bryce Sensabaugh is a really good player comparison. I was thinking C.J. Nolan. He just transferred from Oklahoma University. But when he was in high school, we're talking about like a dude that's like 230, 6'3", just like a power guard. And it's like that, but Jamie has a jumper with it.
Yeah.
So my number 3 player has to be Marcus Ponder. Big 7-footer. I hope I'm not breaking the story here, but he's going to be an overtime elite kid.
I think we already know, yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be an overtime elite kid, 7 foot. What he has done with his body over the last year, like really getting in shape, is really made everything else about him special. Like, he's a really good shot blocker. He has great feet. He knows how to use his size. He's already a little bit mean and isn't afraid to hit somebody. And I really appreciate all of that for a guy who's going to mess around and be in a top half of this recruiting cycle for 2026. There's a lot of really good players. And I honestly have another one that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, Marcus is interesting. The last time I saw him was in April at the On the Radar second live period. And I had a chance to get over to another gym, watch the Breakdown 2026 group, who, sure, you've seen them. I think they're at Wesley Chapel. They're just, you show up to the game and you're like, how are these kids, first off, that big and that talented? You know, they're an incredible group. And Marcus had so many really strong moments in that game. So I could see why you liked him. I think for his development, it's an interesting move to go to overtime elite. Obviously, there's money involved. I just hope that he develops further and stays focused. That would be my biggest concern. But he obviously has a bright future. He's got a great body. He's big. And like you said, he's pretty tenacious.
Yeah. And honestly, I kind of like the overtime move, just considering some of the young bigs that are over there right now. One of the guys who just won a gold medal with the under-16 team, Jaden, I can't pronounce his last name. It's like French. I know it starts with a Q, but he just showed that he's really talented, and having those two guys bang for the next couple years is going to be really good for both of their development.
Yeah, absolutely. Overtime Elite's definitely earned a lot of people's trust since they launched a couple years ago. So,
for sure.
My number three guy from the UCF team camp comes from Lake Worth, who I watched a couple times that I watched them play Winter Haven, is Hedrins Bartelis. For some reason, this kid is not getting enough love. I don't know why. I mean, the first two guys I mentioned are kind of household names, especially Marcus. But Hedrins had a vicious dunk towards the end of the game against a pretty good-sized defender, just punched it on him. But, like, routinely, he was getting to the basket. He pushes it in transition. He gets everybody involved. And he's not small. At 6'6", he's pretty deceivingly long. Mm. And Lake Worth, you know, runs behind him. They got good bigs. They got good guards. They're going to be you want to talk about a tough team like Norland. Lake Worth is right there with them. And Hedrins is a big part of that.
Yeah. one of our mutual friends, Eric, loves Bartelis. And he kind of put me on at the state championship. And I just see the upside with that kid. That's what we're waiting for. Maybe he's going to slip through the cracks, end up being like a JUCO kid who really pops. But he needs more attention immediately.
Yeah, no doubt. And Eric, yeah, like I can attest to it. He was the first guy to message me about him. He's like, you got it. Even in coaches in Miami, like opposing teams sent me film on him. They're like, you got to know about this kid. I don't know why he's flying under the radar. So, you know, college coaches, I understand they don't see everybody, but they need to know who Hedrins Bartelis is, because he is dang good.
For sure, because they'll just come back and bite them later.
Yeah, and Miami always has talent, so you might as well pay attention to Lake Worth this year.
Exactly. So we're going to move on to my number four. And Jake, you might know this guy. He's from the Tampa area. Nick Womack out of Wharton.
Yeah,
I have been hearing rumblings over the last season, but you know he got hurt, so I didn't get to see him in person. So you just hear the stories. I'm cool with somebody on Warden's coaching staff, and he's been like, dude, you gotta check him out. You gotta check him out. I finally get to see him, and it's this stocky 6'1" dude who is extremely quick, a good decision maker, strong, gets to the basket. He literally gets wherever he wants, from like free throw line down in like two moves, no wasted movement, and is a really good pull-up shooter. He was more in scoring mode over the weekend, but he was averaging like 22 a game on really good efficiency, and had moments of like taking over the game where he was just scoring 8 points straight, and it didn't matter what the defense were doing. Like, it the adjustments, putting a bigger defender on him, did not matter. Talked to him after the game. He was like, I can score, but I prefer to get my teammates involved. And some of the passes he threw definitely show that. But I think Wharton is in. They didn't have most of the team with him. Some JV guys were on the floor. So they were trying to figure out how to get everybody else involved. And when they needed a bucket, they went to Nick. And he did not disappoint. He did not disappoint.
I mean, I love his mindset, first off, what he said to you. But at the same token, being in Tampa, I understand how much Wharton lost. So he's probably going to have to score a lot. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with a younger player being assertive like that and also getting their guys involved. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's great for your on-the-court mental awareness and your toughness. So, yeah, Nick is a kid that used to be at Bloomingdale High, moved over to Wharton. Obviously, like you said, he was hurt a lot last year. Yeah, he has all the talent in the world. So Wharton, if they run through him, they'll be fine in the area because, you know, Tampa's not super strong this year outside of Tampa Catholic, Jesuit, the usual suspects. So, yeah, I think Wharton should have a chance if Nick is playing, you know, to that level every single night.
For sure.
So moving to my number four, you know, this is a, you know, kind of a cliche player, someone we've been talking about for so long. I remember seeing him as a freshman, and I was like, man, he's going to be better than his older brother, at least higher level-wise. So Isaiah Brown, nothing against A.J. Brown, who I love, great player. But Isaiah Brown is just so athletic. Like, and his three-point shot was, I don't think he missed. He might have missed one. So granted, they played Lemon Bay, not a super strong team, nothing against them. But, like, it first off, it was a dunk show. And Isaiah just, whenever he wanted a three, whenever he wanted to pull up, he did it and he made it and he got everybody involved. So he quietly gets it done. He has a confidence about him. He's fun to sit near during a game and just kind of hear him break down. He knows all the kids on a lot of teams, but he's just one of those kids. Like, he's going to go places in life outside of basketball. But I think UF is a good fit for him. And I think that he's only going to get better. There's a lot of untapped potential with him.
Yeah. I like what UF is doing by starting off with their recruiting class with that kid. If they want an identity of toughness, athleticism, people who are just going to get the job done, is that dude. Plus, there's a lot of winning culture that comes with Isaiah Brown. Like, he's been to the state championship every year of his career. Yeah,
I mean, OCP goes every year. So he's
exactly
been, and his role has grown every year. Last year he was the guy. So yeah, I mean, it's, he has tons of high school experience.
So it's going to be absolutely perfect. Really interested to see how all of this works out for that young man.
For sure.
Yeah. And to close out my top five, there's another freshman, Chris Washington Jr. I don't know if you've seen.
You have to say that being near the Villages, it's in your contract.
Hey, look, it's one thing for me to get paid to cover this area. There's another thing for me to realize. You know, we do the rankings at Prep Hoops. Chris is at number six. And one of the reasons I even told him this, I know he's going to outplay that ranking because the only thing that stopped him from being a superstar last year was sharing the ball with another superstar. And because he is a freshman, he just got to get a little stronger. When his athleticism kicks in, it's completely over. And all three of those things have happened. Yeah. He's playing with an insane motor. He's 6'7". He's crazy long. He's dunking when he wants to. And he's doing a lot of his scoring off the ball. It's just by getting cuts. It's by being a good offensive rebounder and putback specialist. Because every game that I watched him while at FSU camp, he had a putback dunk. And I'm talking about, like, shoulders by the rim, put back dunk, and he's just casually getting back on defense. He doesn't matter who he guards. He's literally going 1-4 at this point. He still has room to fill out. He's finally hitting the weight room. Chris Washington is just, he's here, man. He's here. And his handles even improved. He's been able to shoot off the dribble. And it's been most of his work has either been at the rim or behind the three-point line. When he figures out the middle of the range, because he can just shoot over everybody, it's really going to be just Chris Washington's world.
Yeah. And this is a kid we've talked about, I'm sure, a bunch. I remember talking to you, I think it was at the state tournament, about mm-hmm. like the Villages, because obviously they had some up and downs. You know, they're able to beat a pretty good, what was the team from Jacksonville? I'm blanking on that team.
Rebolt, right?
Rebolt. I was blanking on the team. I knew they were blue. I remember their checkered warm-ups. But yeah, so Chris, you know, we talked about Sam Walters a few years ago, and when he was a freshman, I remember he was long. He was obviously not as athletic, but like all he could really do as a skinny freshman was shoot threes, get to the basket a little bit. Chris is, you know, no nothing against Sam, who's at going to Alabama. Chris is ahead of him twofold. Granted, again, Chris is more athletic. Chris is taller. Those things help. But yeah, the strides that he's made, at least I've seen on the AAU circuit, he's been super impressive. So it's glad to hear that he was doing his thing at FSU. And, you know, once he eats some more food, peanut butter and jelly, he's getting strong and, you know, gets in the weight room, he'll be fine. Because, yeah, he clearly is going to be a problem. We've known about him for years. He's been hyped up and he's living up to that hype.
Yep. Oh, and he got the FSU offer over the weekend, and it's one of his dream schools. So he was like, I almost got emotional just talking to him, man. I was like, it's just a good kid, and he's hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah.
That's great. Well, yeah, no, the Villages are going to be pretty good. And if he is able to play like that consistently, then they'll be just fine. They'll be back in the state tournament, and they'll be the caliber of what they usually are. So my fifth guy, another pretty known guy in Orlando, Tyler Johnson. Like I said, Oak Ridge was a little shorthanded without Jalen Reese and Jameer Jones. You know, they had Jordan Tillery, they had Elijah Elliott, and they had Tyler, who honestly just balled out. I mean, his mid-range jumper is fantastic. He handles the ball really well. He's a very versatile player. So it's like he can almost cover every position on the floor because he can handle it, and he's long, and he blocks shots. I know there's a lot of mid-major schools a little bit below that that really, really like him. I'm just surprised he doesn't have more offers. I know if you look at his offer list, there's some strong teams, but every time I see him, he's really good. And he was awesome against Winter Haven. He was honestly the biggest reason that Oak Ridge kind of kept it close up until the very end. And to be honest, I think he deserves more love. That's just my opinion. And that's saying something for a kid from Oak Ridge and specifically the Orlando area. Usually they get the love that they deserve. And I think Tyler, for some reason, and granted he's 6'6", and he's a, you know, who knows what his position is going to be at the next level, 3 or 4. I think that's really why he's kind of going under the radar to a degree. He's still a top prospect, but I truly feel like he is kind of being, it's a disservice what the college coaches are doing to him right now.
For sure. And I think part of the issue might be he does all of the dirty work at an elite level. And that's just like the bare minimum part of his game. But he's so good at it that I could see people being like, I don't know if he'll expand his game. It's like, would you just bet on a kid like that and trust in 4 years that your staff is good enough to give him the tools that he needs to be successful at whatever position he wants to play? Because his motor is crazy. He's going to give you everything every single game.
Yeah. Now, I remember when he was at Apopka before he transferred to Oak Ridge. And I was like, dang, who is this kid? And he was just scratching the surface there. So, I mean, he's playing confidently. You know, he was talking smack, but in like a fun way. Yeah. He's just a good player. And I think I just mentioned it, but I think he's one of those guys. We talk about Hedrins, Bartellas, that colleges, if they miss out on him, they're going to be pretty upset. If they need that type of player, you know, obviously teams have those players already in the mix, but, you know, he's only going to help your program, especially in practices, really get everybody going.
Yeah. I feel like you can't go wrong with a dude between like 6'6", 6'7", that just plays really, really hard.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. But that wraps up our top five. Jake, let's go rapid fire. We're going to go honorable mentions. My first guy is going to be Nick Gunter out of Southeastern Prep. Never heard of the school. Apparently, it is in Orlando. They've been working for a few seasons, but Nick Gunter, 7-footer, really long, great frame. He's just skinny, but good shot blocker, good feet, plays hard. And one thing that I always like in a player, is controlled aggression. Like, you're going to be able to, like, talk your stuff to a point where you're not harming the team, but you're also making an impact. Please do that. We need somebody to have some passion out there, and he fits the mold. Apparently, he's getting some high major interest from schools like Illinois. So with him kind of being like a sleeper in the area, it's going to be really interesting to see how his recruiting and impact goes over the next season.
Yeah, and to kind of follow up on, I haven't seen him, but I'm hearing Southeastern Prep is going to be in the SIAA. Their coach, Gary Clemens, used to be at Downey Christian. So a bunch of those kids have come over to Southeastern Prep. I saw him at FGCU, and I'm sure the team you saw was completely different. And he told me there was some kids coming in there. So that's great to hear that they got a 7-footer and they're, you know, working things through, because that could be a really, really good program. And he's a, you know, a talented coach. You know, he coaches the 15U Rebels team with Chris Washington. So he's used to kind of handling some big names. But for me, just going over to Santa Fe Catholic team camp on Friday, which ran also on Saturday, Caden White, Olympia, they had a slow start in the morning. He's a kid that I've liked all spring and summer, plays for Team Florida basketball, you know, 6'2", going to be a senior. He has these moments where he's like not aggressive and he's just kind of going with the flow. And something clicks in him, and it did in the second half, where he's like, okay, I got to take over. Like, we're a close game. I need to be aggressive. And when he did that, I mean, he was unstoppable. I don't know if you've seen him, like, shot the ball insanely well, got to the basket whenever he wanted. And that's not an exaggeration against a Bartow team that defends really hard. I mean, he honestly was the reason they went to overtime, but he's the reason they won. I'm pretty sure he had 18 to 20 points just in the second half alone. And if Caden White can continue to be aggressive every game, he's going places. I hope that he doesn't stay kind of stagnant, because then he'll just kind of go unnoticed. And at Olympia, you've seen them enough to know that they play fast, they play physical, and Caden could have a huge year if he's able to soak up what he did in that second half continuously every quarter of a basketball game.
For sure. Caden is an elite shooter and shot maker. I saw him at the event that we have up in Ocala. Can't think of the name of it right now. Guys, don't kill me. Is it what?
Kingdom of the Sun.
Boom, there we go. Kingdom of the Sun. And I think he had like 15 points there, and it was just all off catch and shoot. I mean, you could see the talent there in flashes, but it's going to be really interesting when it's just him running the show. Yeah. So my second honorable mention guy is going to be Silas Rodriguez out of North Tampa Christian. Recently transferred over from Geyer out in Dallas, Texas. And let's just say Silas gets to the money, man. I'm talking about a 6'4 guard. His coach said he's transitioned more to be a point guard, but he just has a great nose for scoring the ball. It doesn't matter who you put on him. He's 6'4". So if you want to put somebody who's a little bit bigger on him, he's quick enough to get where he wants and get his shot off. If you put a smaller guy on him, he's going to put his back to his basket, and he's just going to kill you from the mid-range game. Really good scoring IQ, great instincts for passing the ball. It's just going to be a really fun show over there with North Tampa Christian this year. They have so many young weapons, man. They're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, and they are entering 2A, so they'll give Slam Tampa. I'm pretty sure they're in that region. They'll give them a tough matchup, and if they get to the state tournament, you know, who knows if they can beat OCP or something like that. But yeah, they're being talked about heavily in Tampa for all the transfers they're getting, and they got a lot of talent in place. So good to hear that Silas has come over and settled in nicely. I keep hearing about him. I haven't had a chance to see him yet. But my second honorable mention, another guy I'm sure you're familiar with, but he's, you know, Tate Darner. There's a lot I could say about him. Fantastic kid, only child. His dad just got the coaching job at University of Tampa. I mean, I think he had, I don't know, I didn't look at the stats, but he probably had 30 to 35 points. It was an early morning game against Olympia on Friday, and he literally couldn't miss. There was a video guy there that was like, who the heck is worth filming from Santa Fe Catholic? Like, he just saw Olympia, and he's like, oh, I know some of those kids, and they're probably going to slaughter him, right? And I'm like, nah, calm down a sec. And then I showed him Tate, and I'm like, that kid's really good. And he's like, really? I mean, that's the reaction that he gets from a video guy. So, like, I know college coaches do their due diligence, but, like, he just went off. And he could do whatever he wants. Now that he's gotten his handle even more improved, he's getting to the basket. He's always been good as a passer. He's not just a three-point shooter anymore. And I think that you'll see more and more confidence coming out of him. The greatest thing that I saw was last fall with him. And I know you were at my fall league. I don't know if you had a chance to see him there. But I knew from the get-go that this kid's going to be a problem. He is so vocal for a young, like last year as a young player. Like he wasn't even their top guy. And he was telling everyone where to line up. I mean, that's insane. I know he's a coach's son. He's probably grown up around basketball since he's like 2 years old. But the maturity on him is through the roof. And you add in all the factors, his three-point shot, his handle, and his driving ability. If he gets a little bit taller and fills out a little bit more, which I think will happen, he's a lock. He's a lock for D1, and he's a bucket for sure.
For sure. Yeah, my guy Josh Cutler out of Southwest Florida, he was like, no, you got to check him out like all summer. So it was definitely somebody I had to watch, especially when I came to your event. Again, elite shooter. And isn't his dad like really, really tall?
His dad's not insanely tall, but probably like 6'5", I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so and Tate's probably what, like 5'10", 5'11"?
He's grown. He's like at least 6'3". He's just, his arms are really long, so you can't really tell.
Okay. Yeah. So the size is catching up. It's only a matter of time before it's like, you got to put the eye test in the scoring acumen together and be like, okay, that's a player.
Yeah, no, he's going to be a problem for a long time.
Yeah. Now, my next guy up is going to be Jamaica Adair out of Park Crossing, and that's coming out of Mississippi. We're talking about a super dynamic scorer. He's probably like 5'10". And if you've ever watched the AAU game and you've seen that one player that just, they keep just jacking shots, but it goes in every time, so you don't say anything to him. That's Jamaica, and I don't mean it in like a bad way. Every time he got the ball, it did not matter where he was in position to score. He shot a three off the dribble from like that, pretty much the volleyball line. I want to say the time was expiring, so his team needed it. Like whatever his team needed from like a scoring standpoint, he could do it. There was another guy who scored like 10 points in a row. Great handle, super quick, knows how to get to his spots. He's just hitting off in Mississippi with a really good team behind him, and they need more love and coverage. And they probably won't pass the eye test because he's not very tall, neither like his teammates for real. But they are all elite. Like they have a point guard over there who just reminds me of Benny that went to Fleming Island.
Oh yeah, Benny McDuffie. Yeah.
Yes, who's just like a ball of lightning. And they're like a crazy backcourt that just is tough. I'm going to give you hell all game.
That's awesome. Shout out to the 601. Mississippi never gets love.
Right?
Yeah. Benny McDuffie, man. He's got a younger brother who's on the come up there.
Yeah, it's Caleb.
Yeah, he's got a younger brother. Another transfer who's now at Windermere Prep. He came down from Georgia. Samuel Shoptop. If you've seen Austin Rivers Elite, or you want to call him Southeast Elite, he's pretty good, man. I know he didn't shoot at a high level in the game against Lake Mary that I saw him on Saturday, but he was getting to the basket. He was vocal. He's not little. And he just ran the offense really well for a player that's really only been there for a week or two. And I think that it's really going to help them a lot. I know Chandler Watts moved out of there. They still have Brandon Bass. They were playing without Sanan, so they didn't really have much inside game. But Samuel Shoptaw is a kid to watch. He's definitely very, very talented on both sides of the floor, and I think Windermere Prep is going to run their whole offense through him, and it looks like a natural fit.
Again, our mutual friend Eric, he dropped his highlights in there. I was like, oh, okay, no, we got to pay attention to him. My guy is going to be Lorenzo Kaysen out of Victory Christian. I do not... You know, every year that I've been here, there's a part of the summer or spring where he just has this uptick in recruiting. It happened after his sophomore year. It happened after his freshman year. And I need to happen. It needs to happen now. So he is solidified as like a mid-major, high-major guard, because that's exactly what he is. He picked apart the defenses. He's super athletic. He knows how to get to his spots. And he just has like a superior control of the game. And he's doing it on both ends. Like, he doesn't run out of energy. I don't really see this kid sweat. And I mean that literally and like figuratively. He's just really, really good. He's special.
Yeah. And he's the perfect example of, not a knock on anyone that transfers, goes to team up with their friends or whatever, but he's the perfect example of a kid that stays at a school, Victory Christian, who plays in a very good schedule. They always have a chance to make it deep in the playoffs. And he uses AAU with the One Family team to really boost his recruitment and get a lot of looks and play really high level basketball. So he's just a loyal kid, which I think that goes a super long way in this world that we live in. And like you said, LJ, he's really a football player out there. I mean, he reminds me, I'm not going to compare him to Jizzle James, they're different players, but the way that the two of them play, they're both buckets. They both play hard on both sides of the floor. They never get tired, and they could easily go play football and be a D1 player. They're just doing it at a high level on the basketball court. And LJ, like you said, can score 50 when he wants. He can score 40 when he wants. And, you know, he's going to be on everyone's list. If you watch him play, he better be on your list, even though he's been talked about hundreds of times, because he's just that good. And, you know, I'm glad that he was doing well up at FSU for sure.
Yeah. And of college coaches got to see, if One Family played in Peach Jail, college coaches would lose their mind the first time they see Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a done deal.
Yeah, no, LJ's got a great chance. I think he winds up at a mid to high major, depending on where things fall. Mm-hmm. He's got a ton of offers, but you know the kid's going to work hard. So.
Oh, for sure.
My next name is someone that, not too far from your area, Alvin Colbert from Lake Mineola. So I first seen him, I remember Lake Mineola from last year, and he was a part of the team, like part of the puzzle. They had some good seniors, some bigger guys. I mean, you want to talk about determined, again, Jimmy Butler type in terms of his intensity. Like, he scored a basket. He was talking to himself, but it's all like he hypes himself up. He got into a guy's face, and it's jawing, but like fun jawing. And they both were going at it. And of course, the refs were like separating it, even though they were literally just having fun. It wasn't like a, I'm going to punch you. It was just, they were both hype. And yeah. Alvin can go inside. He can dunk on you. He's long. He's only like 6'2", 6'3", but he can get up. He can get up down the floor. Lake Mineola had a lot of JV players there, so it wasn't their full team. But he's someone that should have a monster senior season. And I was really, really impressed about the way that he played the whole way through.
Yeah, no, I'm interested in seeing this kid. I've heard a lot of good things about Lake Mineola over the weekend. My last guy is going to come out of Georgia. Eagles Landing's Clark Mastin. Clark is a really fun, probably about like 5'10", 5'11 guard. And it's about knowing the game and coming up in big moments. First game I saw him in, his team needed him to score about 22 to 24 points. And he did it with elite efficiency. Another guy that can score in bunches. Another dude that can run the team. And he's just an elite competitor on both ends. He actually ran into me knee first. And he apologized to me. Was like, you good? Ran back, made a play on the defensive end, came back, scored. Like nothing happened. And we slammed like knee to knee. Really good kid. His coaches raved about him. I am really excited to see what this Eagles Landing team does. Because every year they come down here for the Orlando Get Down. They always have a guard who really just kind of blows me away. Figure out this dude is like a mid-major basketball player. I'm like, okay, I get it. And I get to see Clark Mastin before that happens, because he's really good. don't quite know if he's going to make it to the D1 level. Whoever gets him is going to get a floor general that can also just give you whatever you need at any time.
Yeah. So he ran back, got a basket, came back. His knee was good, but you were probably limping out of the gym, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't stand up. I just like, I'll just watch the next game from here.
I'm just messing with you. We've all had that happen. I mean, I remember being at Disney years ago, Kamani Johnson. This was stupid, though. I'm literally under the basket where, like, the coaches are supposed to sit. The only one just blindly tweeting, and he's coming at me. Luckily, he, like, grabbed me. If he didn't, I would have gone to the ground. My neck would have been broken. Like, it was – he came full speed. But, I mean, now I'm still buddies with the guy. He went to Arkansas, just graduated. So, nice. Yeah, no, it was funny. But my last one is kind of a team – you know, I'll talk about players, but I was really impressed by the team play, the guard play of Charlotte. You know, a team that has lost John Gamble. He's gone on to college. Chris Cornish, obviously their biggest name at 6'5", 6'6", kind of a banger type, can clean up rebounds, score inside, can dunk. But the three guards that they have are very, very impressive. Two of them being seniors. D'Or Evans is a 5'8", if that guard, plays football. So fast, shot the mid-range pull-up really efficiently, led the offense, you know, in the right direction. And then you got Ja Chin, who came over from Port Charlotte, the rival school. He's probably 5'9". He's another gonna be senior, similar type game, can get to the basket, can shoot it, and just pushes the cause. And then Jordan Atia, 2025, 6'1" guard, shot the ball well from mid-range and three-pointer. So, you know, Charlotte, out of that area, especially in Fort Myers, has very, very good guard play, and that's going to take them very, very far. They hung with all the teams that they played at Santa Fe Catholic that I saw, and I'm very, very impressed about the cohesiveness of that team.
Hey, since we're on the team tip, are there any other teams that you're going to want to shout out?
Me being, yeah, try to stay unbiased, I'm not doing any team shout outs. I'm looking forward to the FABC camp. I'll be there for session one on Friday and Saturday in Gainesville. There's a lot of teams I normally wouldn't see that will be there, so it'll be very, very exciting. But this is the best time of the year, in my opinion, outside of the regular season. You know, AAU is great, but it gets to be a little overwhelming at times, especially when you're at like a third, fourth game of the day. I feel with the high school stuff, you can truly see where these guys are going to go and in the structured offenses that these teams are running. And for me, especially that I run events during the season, it's great for me to see these teams and see what, you know, what they're getting in and what they're losing and all that stuff. So I love June. It's my favorite month for basketball.
Yeah, no, June is a great month. And Jake, I'm okay with showing my biases in public. So I'm going to shout out a few teams. Park Lane, that's another team out of, I want to say, Mississippi, somewhere down in the southeast. But they really impress with a trio of wings. They're getting headed by Brewer Carruth, who's currently getting recruited at like the D2 level. And he's like 6'4", super athletic kid. And he just gets the game. Park Crossing, I kind of talked about them a little bit earlier. But led by those two really good guards I talked about. Then they got a couple guys between 6'4", 6'5", who are just really rangy, good defenders. They help a little bit on offense. Now I'm about to get into the teams that kind of like swept me off my feet. Florida Rebels 2027. Why did nobody tell me that this group of kids were so talented? Like, I knew about Jeremy Jenkins, but when you actually see him, he's 6'7". He's a pretty big kid, and he's already mean. Like, he has no problem hitting the other kids. And usually that takes a minute for the other bigs to figure out, but there's like a lot of talent on that team. Caden Daughtry just picked up Florida State. This is a kid that told me that Florida State's one of his dream schools. Really good shooter. Got hot, hit like four threes in a row. Really good playmaker. Anthony Walcott, kid that's going to be going down to Columbus to play basketball, 6'4", already a really good scorer. That's exactly what Columbus just lost with while they lost their senior guard. So you get another guy in who can score buckets. Then you go down to Modern Lakes. Everybody's between like 6'3", 6'5", and they all play really hard and are all really talented. Norlin, Jamal Ware is a major sleeper for them, along with Tristan Wilson, who is one of the most efficient scorers I've seen. Like, rarely misses, doesn't need a lot of shots. The two games that I saw him in, he probably took 8 shots between the two games, made 6 of them. Doesn't miss. And then we talked about it, North Tampa Christian. There's just a lot of talent over there. Finally got to see Lane Collier in person. Not the best outing, but you can see the potential. He's only a 2025, reclassing 26. And they're just a lot of really good guys that play really well. I would not be afraid if they make it to the 2A Final Four in their first year competing in the FHSAA.
Yeah, no, they're a fun team. They'll be in, the announcements haven't come out yet, but they'll be in my fall league come August 19th, and they'll also be in the Sunbash Tampa Bay, which I'm very excited about, December 28th through the 30th. But a kid that you pointed out, Tristan Wilson, I mean, Jamal Ware is super talented. I like him a lot. He's kind of a football-type player to me, the way he plays, and I think he does play football. But Tristan Wilson, last week at FGCU, was fantastic. Granted, Marcus wasn't there, so he had to be more aggressive. But he, again, super efficient, plays confident. He's not small. He does all the things you want him to do on both sides of the ball, and he did a lot of that at UCF. Again, I know his role has been a little pushed back because Marcus is there, but Tristan Wilson is, in my opinion, a D1 player.
For sure.
No, he's not getting that type of love right now, but he plays for SOH Elite, and I think that if he continues to play the way he has the last two weekends and puts that into July, he'll be fine. I mean, he's really, really good.
Yeah, and if Norlin goes into like any showcase events like City of Palms this year, once coaches see what Tristan Wilson does, it'll work itself out.
Yeah, no, that New Orleans team is good. That Lake Worth team is good. Miami is spoiled with talent, especially, you know, the Columbuses of the world. And, we're not even talking about the scrappy, you know, guard team, the guard-heavy teams, the Berlin Jesuits, the Finns. There's just so much talent there between Miami and Orlando, Jacksonville. It's pretty amazing to see what they can do. So, yeah, no, I'm excited for New Orleans this year, and I think the list of players that you just rattled off and teams is definitely on point.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for stopping by the Prospects Corner. And, of course, I have to thank my OG, Jake Perper. Thank you so much for stopping in, talking hoops with us, man. Go ahead and tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, anytime. So, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at TheHoopVibe, Instagram at The_HoopVibe, and on TikTok as well at The_HoopVibe. You know, I'm promoting TikTok now. I'm not that OG.
Look, man, I guess I'll be the OG because I'm still over here on YouTube. Guys, go ahead and like and subscribe so you can get more of our content. Hopefully, we will be doing more of these podcasts, especially as the year goes on. I would love to have you after some of your events, man. We can always talk hoop. But again, thank you guys for stopping by, and we're out.
Appreciate it.